Caitlin, hi.
Hiya.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You okay? I'm
good. I was just wondering, is it too soon for a Merry Christmas?
Not at all.
Merry Christmas. Is your tree up?
Not yet. We're doing it this weekend.
Oh,
I'm
lovely.
ready.
I know. Have you started buying presents yet? I actually have. I'm organised for once this year.
I'm actually nearly finished. It's quite
Woo!
Nice.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So Caitlin, you finished with Skill Cymru on the crew apprenticeship back in July of this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I know you've had a good year with us. Well, I hope you've had a good year with us.
Amazing, yeah.
Tell me where you were just before the apprenticeship. Tell me what you were up to.
So basically, after school, I didn't really know where I wanted to go. Like, I knew I was interested in like film and TV, but it wasn't really a subject in school, so I didn't really know that was a path I could take. So I was kind of interested in like biology, history, which I'm still interested in, but you know, it wasn't interested enough to go into a career doing it for me anyway.
Yeah.
So I kind of took the route of, you know, going to A levels, and you know, I thought I was going to be going to university and, you know, doing these subjects that I was kind of being pushed to do, I felt like.
Yeah.
So I went to A level and I'd chosen like history, biology. I did criminology and art because,
whoa,
you know, I was quite creative in school and I would make like random little YouTube videos and things like that. So I was interested in making, you know, videos for people to watch. I knew that, but it wasn't really like an idea of like that's the path I wanted to take. So I was doing these subjects and I was kind of thinking like, you know, I'm not really enjoying this. Do I really want to go to university, spend all this money,
yeah,
and like do this for the rest of my life sort of thing? So I was kind of like, it was in the back of my head, I was like, this isn't really what I want to do. And then I did like a biology, it was like a mock exam, and I came out with a U, and like, that was like I was like, there is no point in like continuing with this because I was trying so hard and it just wasn't for me. So I decided, because I'd heard one of my friends was doing like media studies, and like from what I'd heard, I was like, that actually sounds like a really cool subject. So I decided to go and talk to that tutor about kind of swapping from biology to media studies in the middle of the year. So I was talking to her, she was like, this actually sounds a bit crazy, but I think you could do it, like if you tried hard enough. So that's what I did. I went to media studies, and then in my mock exams I was coming out with like A's and B's, which I was quite surprised at, but because it was something I was interested in, you know, I felt like I was on board, I was getting it. And then in lockdown, that's when I really like was thinking to myself, like, you know, what could I do with this subject? Where could I go? And I was always interested in like, you know, I'd be editing on like Movie Maker on like my old laptop, or making YouTube videos on iMovie and just random things like that. And after talking to like my family, we kind of found a course at Carnegie Hamoydd doing media production. And like when I read that, it just sounded like amazing. I was like, that is what I want to do. So obviously after lockdown, I left A level and then I went to Carnegie Hamoydd to do a 2-year long course, literally just doing media production. And it was like incredible. It was everything that it was just what I wanted to do. And I knew that, you know, throughout the course. And then as I was doing that course, you know, I was getting involved with like making music video, doing documentary, I was doing short films, working with people, working in different roles. And then it was the time to then come to uni, and I was applying to university. But again, I'm not a very like academic person. I knew that like TV is where I wanted to go now, but it was just that thought of like, right, I'm going to have to keep doing these academic, you know, subjects and, you know, keep going and doing the essay side, and it just wasn't really appealing to me. So I'd applied to uni and I'd got in, and I was going to go to Falmouth University, and it sounded like an incredible course. You know, people were, oh, I know people who've done the course now, and like, you know, it sounds incredible still.
Yeah.
Not for me. You know, and I was talking to my family and my nan. She was like, do you really want to move away as well? Because I was going to go to Falmouth. And she was getting quite upset. So I was like, okay, how am I going to just like move away? And obviously they would have been happy for me too. But it was just in the back of my mind, like, is this for me? But then like one day my nan turns around and she's like, it's quite a funny story how I got into Skill Camry actually.
So okay.
I know someone who used to work for the BBC. And if I give him a call, he might be able to give you some advice. So I was like, okay. I'm like, why haven't you said this before?
Thanks,
so
Dan.
Thanks, Dan. So she literally gives him a call and then passes me the phone. And I don't really know who this guy is at the moment. I'm like, hello. and he just starts telling me, like, look, if you're not happy with going to university, there are different options. And he was telling me, like, you can just email people to shadow them, or, you know, ask for runner positions. And then he'd mentioned like this apprenticeship at Skill Camry. He mentioned the BBC one as well.
Yeah.
But after like researching Skill Camry, I was like, you know, this sounds incredible. Like, I have to apply. And by the time he'd told me about it, I only had like a weekend to apply.
Okay.
So I spent literally the whole weekend like making my application like the best I could. And I was like, this is good. Like, please. So, and then I found out, like, I got it. And, like, you know, obviously that was the better option for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't regretted it at all, obviously.
But it sounds like to me as well that, and like a lot of other past apprentices, that your family were very supportive with your change of mind.
100%. Yeah, I've been really lucky. Like, they always, like, they didn't want me to move away to uni, but they were like, if that's what you want to do, like, we're behind you, sort of thing. So it's quite nice to, I know some people whose families are not as supportive, so it's just quite nice to, like, you know, have that.
Definitely. So when you applied for the apprenticeship, could you work out the difference between what we call the ACDM apprenticeship and the CREWW apprenticeship? Was it explained properly, maybe on our website? Did you understand it?
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, the CREWW apprenticeship really, like, stood out to me because, you know, from what I did from my tutors at college, you know, they were always giving us, like, information on, like, the TV industry. Honestly, without them, you know, I wouldn't have had a clue. So I was, like, looking on the website, and the CREWW apprenticeship kind of, you know, it mirrors the TV industry. You're not guaranteed to do, you know, this placement and this placement. It's not like laid out like that. You're just doing what is available at that time. You know, and the Skill Camry team, they like work really hard to like find the placements to what you want to do. And I think that's just like amazing because everyone I've met wants to do something different. Everyone in my cohort, you know, you had someone who wanted to be like a director, someone wanted to be like a script writer, there was someone who wanted to go into production, I want to go into post-production. So like just finding all those different placements, you know, helps us grow. So many different paths you can take in TV, so I think it's great that there's an apprenticeship that can help you with that and help you, you know, find your path.
Yeah, because the main difference really is between the CREWW apprenticeship and the ACDM is that obviously the ACDM apprentices have a year or 18 months job, so to speak.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then you on CREWW basically have placements that could be anything from 2 weeks to 4 or 5 months, couldn't they?
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you I know you came to a workshop with Skill Camry. And then you were chosen to go on the CREWW apprenticeship. When you came into us, that those first sort of first few weeks, did you have an idea in your head, I want to be a runner or I want to work in post-production? Did you know where you wanted to go?
So coming straight out of college, I was just like, I want to be an editor for comedy. Like, it's really specific. that's still where I want to go. And I think it's really helpful to like have that in my head and be able to talk to people and say, like, that is what I want to do. I know for some people, they just like didn't really know. They just know that they wanted to work in TV. And I think, not that it's more difficult to figure out, but I think it really helped me because I knew kind of what I needed to learn.
Yes.
Yeah, like literally from day one, like it was like editor for comedy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm sure that helped in a way because we do get a lot of apprentices that come in. Like you said, I want to work in TV or film, but don't really realise how many jobs there are behind the camera, so to speak, behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I think like it was kind of a learning thing for me as well because I wanted to be an editor, but obviously I can't just step straight into the editor role. Like, that would just be crazy.
Yeah.
There's so many different roles behind, like, all these heads of departments. There's, like, multiple roles that, like, do... So when you're in college doing a film, for example, you're kind of just doing everything yourself. But for just one role, there's, like, five people behind them. So, like, I want to be an editor. And after, like, these different experiences, I know that, you know, there's an edit assistant, there's a second edit assistant, there's a DIT that brings them the rushes, you know, there's a sometimes an assembly editor. It could go on.
Yeah.
But I think it's just good to have an idea in mind of like where you want to go so you can push for those roles.
Definitely. Because, you know, what's great with the apprenticeship as well is that there is, obviously, the crew apprenticeship is a 12-month apprenticeship with Skill Cymru.
Yeah.
But then in that 12 months, I imagine there is room to change your mind.
Yeah, I mean, so when I started, like I said, I was like editor 100%.
Yeah.
On my first placement, I was in Wild Flame Productions. It was an incredible experience. So I was there for 3 months. So they were really supportive in like getting me experience with post-production. You know, I ended up going on like training courses. They had people do like freelancers literally coming in to show me Avid. And like, it was like incredible.
Yeah.
You know, but I did get a chance. So I was sitting in the production office. I did get a chance to, like, you know, turn around to people and say, like, look, I'm happy to help because I wanted to see as much as I could. I knew I wanted to go into post, but I think, you know, in my head, it was sort of, you know, I want to see as much as I can while I'm here.
Yeah.
So I got quite involved with, like, the development team, and I was literally, like, coming up with my own ideas and, like, helping them develop ideas for, like, the One Show and Channel 5 and, like, all different things. And I got really involved with it. So I think if I wanted to, I could have like turned to like Skill Cymru and be like, this is actually where I want to go now. So I think, you know, when you're on your placement, you know, you can be really involved with wherever you want.
Yes.
Which is the amazing thing about it, because you're an apprentice, you know, you're not tied down to this one role. I mean, depending on what you do, but for me, in like some of my placements, I was able to like, you know, go and talk to this person and go to talk to this person. And this, you know, you can change your mind. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's so many different paths you can take. Yeah, I mean, I was still looking to go into post, but along the way, I was looking to just gain as much knowledge as I could.
So Wild Flame was your first placement.
Yeah.
You know, like anybody, it's like you're an apprentice, but it's like you are starting a new job, aren't you?
100%, yeah.
It doesn't sound like to me, but I want to ask the question, was there any time that you were really made to feel, oh, you're the apprentice, you haven't got any knowledge, can you just sit there and watch us? That sort of a feeling, you know?
I don't think it was like that. I think, you know, when you're going into a production company as an apprentice, I think to get like the ball rolling, because you're not actually going into a role, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, you just kind of have to take your own initiative.
Yeah, great.
And, like, take that role, if that makes sense. So when I first got there, there was no one telling me like, you're going to be doing this today. You know, that would occasionally happen. When I first got there, they would give me like a list of things, you know, this could be what you're doing. You kind of have to like take your own initiative and be like, you know, can I help with this? Like, if you feel confident too, like after they show you, I don't know, this is how you ingest footage. When you feel confident enough, like you can say like, could I help out with it? And it kind of then like, you kind of make a role. Does that make sense? I think
right at
the start of like apprenticeships, this is how I felt. They were always happy to show me anything and I was always happy to learn. So that's kind of how it worked. But yeah.
Yeah, so in a way, you've got to, as shy as a person as anyone would be, you've really just got to get out there and be a part of their team, I suppose, and
definitely,
ask the questions and can I help and stuff. And then I suppose the more you get to do, the more you'll be asked, maybe. Or is that how you found it? Is the, you know, was there a trust building over the months as well, do you think?
I think, yeah, because when people hear the word like apprentice, they might think, oh, maybe they're not like trustworthy. Maybe we can't trust them with like the big jobs.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, those first few weeks, it's just a case of showing them that, like, you know, I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to help. And you do feel a part of the team. You know, you go into this production company and there's so much to do, so much to learn. You know, and if you do say, can I help with this? Can I help with that? People will start trusting you and they will start coming to you with jobs. Yeah, that's how I found it anyway.
Yeah. And what about things like, it sounds like boring things, but I always think they're important. Logistically, like how, because you don't live in Cardiff, Caitlin, do you?
No, I'm from the Rhondda.
From the Rhondda. So how are you finding, I'm just, you know, logistics of travelling back and forth and parking in Cardiff and all that sort of thing. Did you, you know, that's something else you've got to research. You can't just turn up on day one morning, half an hour late. Oh, I didn't know where you were. I didn't know where to park or stuff. All that sort of stuff.
I think for my first placement, it was quite hard because I'd only really go to Cardiff for like kind of fun things. I wouldn't really go there to work.
Yeah.
I didn't really know my way around. But I think after you're there quite a lot, you know the best places to park, you know, like the free parking areas. It's kind of good because it is cheaper than living in Cardiff. And I don't mind driving, you know, long distances, it's fine. I've got my own car and that really helps. Or if you've got a placement near like a train station, that also really helps, just so you buy like a weekly train ticket and it's much cheaper than living in Cardiff with like how rent is at the minute. I quite enjoy driving in.
So I know we say to apply for a crew apprenticeship that you have to be able to drive and have access to a car. Would you say in your case that was a must, that you know, regarding the placements you had, that if you hadn't been able to drive or didn't have another car, it would have been maybe impossible to get to these placements?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think like my second placement, I was with Avanti Media, and I feel like I got the most of the experience because I had my own car.
Yeah.
I could have found a way to get there, like by train or by bus. It would have been difficult, don't get me wrong. But like I was doing quite a lot of like runner roles. You know, I was supposed to be in the post-production department, but I kind of was like, oh, I'm quite interested to learn that. So I was quite like, you know, I've got my own car, like, could I get involved with this? And then I ended up like, I was driving to like Carmarthen, do like runner roles. They did like PSC shoots, which is like smaller shoots, not in studio. And obviously they were just dotted around everywhere in like random locations.
Yeah, but
you know, yeah, then to get involved with that, you know, having my own car obviously really helped.
Yeah.
I think if I didn't have my own car, I wouldn't have been able to do that so much.
So Wildflame was your first placement and you were there for 3 months.
Yeah.
While you were waiting for your second placement, how did you find coming into Skill Cymru and stuff? Did that work for you?
I think it was quite nice, like, to have, you know, the time to just come back to Skill Cymru. Because obviously when you're on placement, it is like, go, go, go. Like, you're really busy. I quite like the units, like the work that you have to do, because it kind of, you have to like reflect on the work that you've done. and it kind of is then useful in another way.
Yes.
So then to come back to the office, it's quite nice to then like see everyone and get to hear everyone's stories, but also just have that time to just kind of it sounds weird, but like just reflect on what you've been learning.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes you realize like I've actually learned so much, like you don't really realize.
No, exactly. And because obviously with the crew apprenticeship, you have to come into Skill Cymru to do your diploma work, so to speak, your unit work, when you're available, really. So, and you're all on different placements, so you're not always in at the same time, are you?
No, that's right. I think when I was there, I think I was only there for like 2 weeks. I had to like try and get as much done as I could. Like, while I had the time, I was there with like three others, I think, and everyone else was just out on placement.
Right.
Yeah, that like it goes back to what we were saying about like in Mirrors TV. Like, there's not like set placements that you can do, really. It's just whatever comes up and whatever you want to get involved with. So obviously everyone was doing different things, and
so in a way, as a freelancer in the freelance world, without the diploma work, the downtime that you would experience as a freelancer, your downtime was spent at Skill Cymru.
That's right, yeah.
And then gearing up for your next placement. Now, how did you find, because obviously with your placements, I know as well, often you have to have interviews, don't you?
Yeah.
How did you find the interviews? Or did you have to have an interview for every placement?
I was quite lucky I didn't.
Okay.
But my first one, yeah. Because I'm not very good at interviews. Like, I was like, yes. But the first one, I interviewed. So I had quite like a few interviews for like my first placement, because I wanted to be an editor, but I didn't really know where I was going to start. So I'd interviewed with Paul at Wild Flame for a post-production apprentice. Position, kind of. So there was a few other apprentices interviewing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite lucky I got it. And then for my next placement, I'd actually met someone in Wild Flame, and they said like I'd be able to teach you this at my company. So yeah, it was quite a nice like flow sort of thing. And again, I was quite lucky to meet that person for them to say like I'd be happy to show you this.
Oh, fantastic.
They did like a training day, and then it kind of like led on to like more training in that area. So like, you know, I was incredibly lucky. And then for my last placement on Lost Boys and Fairies, I didn't interview, I didn't apply. So I was so lucky to get that. So it was an edit trainee position.
Right.
And the team at Skill Cymru kind of like knew someone in that team and got me in that way.
Fantastic. So anyway, realistically, you had a bit of experience of the old interviews at the beginning of your apprenticeship.
Yeah, and I think, like, Skill Cymru really helps you, like, prepare. Because, like I said, I'm not good at interviews. But, like, you know, I was able to, like, talk to someone and be like, right, like, what's the best way of going about, like, preparing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, you've done Wild Flame in Cardiff, in the centre of Cardiff. Avanti's in Cardiff as well, isn't it? That's in on the outskirts of Cardiff.
It's more or less in the centre.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's quite a nice one.
And then where were you? Lost Boy and Fairies. Tell us a little bit about that first, Caitlin, because people might not know what that is. It's a film or a drama series?
So it's a drama series for the BBC. I'm not really too sure like how much I can say.
No, it's not out yet, is it?
No, it's coming out soon.
Oh, right, okay.
But I'm really excited about it. It's like, you know, it's quite different. It's,
okay. Yeah. So was it a film or was it a six-part series or how did it work?
It's a three-part series, and it kind of like explores like this like gay couple, and they want to adopt.
Ah, okay.
And the one character has like trauma. So
right.
How he like overcomes it. It's really emotional, but like I'm really excited for people to watch it.
Fantastic. And so how long was your placement with is it Lost Boys and the Fairies or Lost Boys and Fairies?
Lost Boys and Fairies.
Yeah, so how long was your placement with on that job?
So I was there with Skill Cymru for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to extend me then for another 3 months.
Oh.
In the same role, but I felt like after the 3 months, I kind of, not officially, but I kind of stepped up into like a second edit assistant role.
Wow.
You know, because I was like, I was loving it, obviously. I was getting so involved in anything I could.
Yeah.
Really felt like a part of the team. And, you know, I got to know the editor's way of working and I could like help out as much as I could. Yeah, it was a really nice placement, like, to kind of finish off with, because obviously I wanted drama, but I felt like the other placements kind of, you know, got me ready for this role, if that makes sense.
Because it was,
you know, I did like training days, I did, you know, I'd seen all different workflows, and then like the drama workflow for edit assistant is like so much more complicated because you've got so much like footage coming in, and obviously like each editor then has like a different way of working, so it was just a case of finding how this editor works.
Right. I've got to be honest, you were based in Gorilla during this time, weren't you?
That's right, yeah.
And I came down to see you because I was assessing you on your workplace units, and you had your own edit suite.
No, I can't believe it. Yeah, so, like the first day, I was like, so edit trainee, I was expecting to just be like literally training, like shadowing people, like just making teas and coffees, and like, you know, that's what I was expecting. But I came in with like the first edit assistant. So the room you came into was like the big office, we called it.
Yeah.
So we were like sitting in there and I was expecting to just be there the entire time. And then she was like, oh, I'll show you to your office now. I was like, what do you mean? My office? So she walked around the corner and like we were like, we had our own spaces.
Wow.
You know, you don't expect it. But yeah, I think that was a big thing as well, like actually realizing, oh, this is a role. Like,
yes.
When you think trainee, you think you're just going to be making teas and coffees, which might be the case for some people.
Yeah.
I think I was just really, really lucky. But
it was great. I mean, I felt like you sort of, well, A, matured a lot during your year, because you'd had to, really, because they were relying on you in that role, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think like that's what's good about the crew apprenticeship is that they understand like where you want to go, but they, like if I went straight into the edit trainee role, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much as I did when I felt ready, if that makes sense. They kind of like eased me into it, and then throughout the year, so when I like on Lost Boys, I was like shadowing on set and different things. If I had just like gone straight onto set, I would have been so overwhelmed. You know, but because I'd already been on set on like smaller productions, it didn't feel as big, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I think throughout this year, I kind of like was able to build up, which is like, I think if you go to uni, you know, I haven't got anything against uni, but I think, you know, you're going to come out of that and then you have to kind of find your own role, and it might be overwhelming and you haven't got that support behind you like you would if you had an apprenticeship.
Yeah, or the experience either, have you really?
Exactly, yeah. And I think obviously the team at Skill Cymru know what they're looking for and what would be good for me. It's a great way of just like easing your way into the industry. And then I was able to just, you know, get as involved as I could. I was processing the rushes and doing turnovers and doing first cuts in the end.
Wow, fantastic.
Because I just felt like confident too.
You were coming to the end of your apprenticeship. You're probably in the back of your mind thinking, oh my God, right, I really am going to be a freelancer now.
Yeah.
I'm surely them offering you so realistically, your first 3 months as your freelance career was a continuation of your apprenticeship role.
Yeah.
With Lost Boys and Fairies. How did that make you feel? I mean, it sure must have made you feel great to be offered a proper job after.
I was obviously over the moon. Like,
yes.
I loved working on that production, and I was like, you know, and I was only an edit trainee, but I just felt like if I could do this forever, I would. Like them offering me that role, I also just felt like, you know, I am doing something right, because it was my first drama production, and it can be quite daunting.
Yeah,
I just felt like, oh, so they do. I am doing something right.
So,
you know, but I think now, after that role, it's like straight into freelancing, but I kind of feel, you know, I've kind of had experience with it in a way. I kind of know what productions are looking for now that I've had that experience. So, you know,
Definitely.
it's scary, but I do feel confident that I kind of, you know what to look for and know who to ask, and yeah.
So you definitely know what you want to do. You definitely know where what career path you want to follow, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I've been interested in like different roles.
Yeah.
Editor, like I say, is like top, like that's what I want to do. But I've been able to see like the different departments and different roles. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, I am interested in other roles, and after talking to people, it's not unheard of that people do multiple roles, if that makes sense. You know, it's a good thing to keep in mind that you don't have to just limit yourself to just one, because there's so much out there in the industry.
So when you finish your apprenticeship, and you were still working on Lost Boys and Fairy, did you have to get into, I'm presuming then you had to get into invoicing for the work you were doing yourself, yeah?
So I've literally just finished Lost Boys. So I haven't really had to do any of that yet. You know, it's quite quiet in the industry at the moment, so there is really nothing to get involved with, which again is just part of being freelance. It's like sometimes you have downtime, and I think because it's so close to Christmas, you know, I finished at quite a bad time because everyone's just going to start crewing up in the new year. So I've got, you know, if I'm lucky, then there might be something before Christmas, which fingers crossed. But I think it's more of a case that it'll be in the new year. So yeah, it's kind of good to have like side things. So I'm doing, I've got a little Etsy shop at the moment, just selling, so I do graphite drawings, selling like prints of those, just to build up
Fantastic.
like a side thing. Because I think with especially drama, there are like really, there can be really long gaps until you find work. Unless it's like in the middle of the year where there's lots of different productions going on, you can jump job to job. But especially this time of year, like around Christmas, you know, it's Christmas break. It's also, you know, dark really early, so people are not really shooting around this time.
No, of
So,
course.
you know, it depends really what you want to get into, but it's just good to keep in mind and be prepared that like you would have downtime.
It sounds like you were prepared for this then, Caitlin, because you sort of you had been relayed it been it be the message had got to you that there will be downtime, like the downtime you used to spend with us at Skill Cymru. Now the downtime is at home.
Yeah.
Creating other paths of work for yourself, which obviously you've done with your Etsy project.
Yeah, exactly. It's a scary thought. Like obviously I'm out of work. Like I've got money coming in from my Etsy shop, and I think the good thing about TV, they keep in mind that there is downtime, so you kind of get paid extra. You know, and I add like holiday pay at the end as well, which was nice because, you know, you don't have to be thinking about money. Obviously, go on holiday, but just keep in mind that, like, you know, there is downtime. You know, and after talking to like my co-workers on Lost Boys, I was kind of like freaking out at first. I was like, I haven't got a job. Like, what am I gonna do? But they were just like chill. So it kind of made me think maybe this is just normal. Like, and I've heard it off people before, but I think that's what like settled it was that, like how calm they were when I was telling them, you know, and they're always willing to help as well. Like, you know, they're like always sharing around my CV and, you know, telling people, oh, I know this editor trainee sort of thing. So it sounds scary, but when you think of it like logically,
It
it's
makes
not that
sense.
scary. Yeah. So yeah, just like being prepared for like downtime and just having things to do.
And I'm presuming as well when you finish your apprenticeship, because obviously it's publicised that crew apprentices earn 12,500 a year, which I understand is it might be going up for next year. But did you have to then? How was negotiating your daily rate with with Lost Boys and Fairies. How did you find that? Was that a bit scary? Because it was your first negotiation, really, wasn't it, of money?
Yeah. I mean, like they were like I didn't have any problems. Like
Right.
I looked on Beck too, which is like the union, and they do
Yeah.
like pay cards for how much you should expect in different roles, which was really, really helpful because obviously that was my first year in the industry.
Yes, of
Like,
course.
you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. So just by looking at those cards, I could have like an idea of what I should be asking for. But they kind of, I didn't have any issues. They just said that rate and like I was
Yeah.
happy with it. But like, obviously, as you step up through the roles,
Yeah.
that's when it becomes harder because you have to ask for your rate rather than, you know, what it says on a rate card. And I think what was good as well is that I had Skill Cymru behind me. So if they like said, oh no, we're not paying you this, then I could go to Skill Cymru and say, like, I think they're underpaying me, if that makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah, what you think?
Yeah, which didn't happen. And also while I was getting paid at Skill Cymru, like I was getting when I was getting paid my rate at Skill Cymru, Lost Boys were actually paying me to make me level with the other trainees.
Oh, wow.
Well, which was, you know, quite like nice because
Yes.
I'm not doing that role. So yeah. I didn't have any problems, but
That's good to hear, because I think that's an area that scares a lot of people. I mean, it even scares you as a freelancer. I was freelance for years, and
right.
the money question was always the one, oh God, I hate this bit, you know. To be fair with you, Caitlin, as well, after you finished with Lost Boys and Fairies, you were offered a job, weren't you? But you decided yourself not to take it because you didn't think it was quite what you wanted to do.
That's right. So after working, so in my head all this time, I've been thinking like drama is where I want to go. So it was kind of the case of do I ride out the wave and see what comes, or do I take a longer contract in a more like, I don't know, like a production company? So I think that's kind of not a like a problem, but it's just something to keep in mind of like, you know, in TV. From what I've learnt is that drama and factual are kind of like separate things,
Yes.
which was quite like a big learning curve for me because, you know, it's TV, like that's what you think, but
Yeah.
they're like completely separate. And I know people like sometimes jump between the two, but it is quite hard to find your way in between the two. So that was
Yes.
in my head. And obviously, I loved working for the factual companies, so there was no issue with going back.
No.
And I would in future, but it's like with what I had seen at that time in the situation I was in, I was working on a drama production. You know, I was like, this is what I want to do. And that's still how I feel. So I think while I've got the opportunity, I was just thinking, let's just see where this goes. You know, and I've made contacts in drama and talking to people in drama. So it's like, I just felt like it was the right thing to do to explore that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of now looking to step up into like second assistant editor as well, because I feel confident too. And I was also
Right.
thinking, because like drama and factual are so different to each other, I didn't want to like forget the workflow in drama because they are quite like different. There's like so much to the drama workflow, just because there is so much footage coming in every day and the editor needs it to be able to do what they need to do. But for factual, you know, there's quicker turnarounds as well.
Yeah.
So it has to just be a different workflow. So yeah, it was quite a tough situation because, you know, I love working in factual, but it's like, where do I see myself going? Yeah.
In a way, you found your niche, haven't you? You found what you'd like to specialize in.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
And I feel,
you're sticking with it, aren't you? You're sticking with it.
yeah. Just riding the wave, see where it goes. Yeah.
Which is brilliant. So you've probably got a few fingers and a few pies and waiting to hear maybe after Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard things that are coming up. But again, that's like the freelance world, I guess. Like
Yes.
you kind of hear things, but TV is quite last minute in like a lot of different ways. So it's just keeping in your mind, like, you know, if I thought about it, you know, I haven't got a job at the minute, but like, in a way, I do, because I've been talking to people about jobs and, you know, they've said, you know, this role might be coming up. So, you know, it's scary to think that I haven't got a job, but in a way, there are things working in the background, like, it will work out. So
Exactly.
it's just, you know, in downtime, just like keep busy, keep shadowing, keep like creative, and just don't think like, ah, oh, I failed, like I don't have a job. Like there are things
No.
coming.
Yeah,
So
because the industry really isn't geared up like that, is it?
no, exactly. It's like it can't like work, you know, you can't really go job to job because that's just not, there's not like constant productions, because
No.
like people wouldn't watch just like a constant flow of productions, if that makes sense. Like there has
Yeah.
to be breaks and there has to be time to, you know, develop an idea, you know, film the idea. Like it's just how it works, I think, like just being there at the right time.
Definitely. It definitely sounds like to me, though, as well, that with your sideline, with your Etsy project, that's keeping you with a cash flow, with money, and it's keeping you creative, and it's keeping you busy.
Yeah, which is good. It's like the perfect little side thing, really, because I was thinking about maybe finding like a little coffee shop job or something, but
Yeah.
me, like, it's not really realistic because, you know, I
No.
work in TV, but I can't keep just like living in that coffee shop. Like it might work for some people, but I think for me it was just finding something that would constantly be there, so that when I'm waiting for a TV job, you know, I've got this other side thing.
Yeah, it's just something you can switch on and off, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And
If
something
you
that
were
I enjoy as well.
yeah. If you were in a coffee shop, you sort of have to let somebody down every time you turn them off.
Exactly. And like I've got no worries with working in a coffee shop. I think it's quite bad for them, I guess.
Yes.
You know, just having something that, you know, and I, one of my friends does like a, like an editing sort of company in their
Yeah.
downtime, just editing like little wedding videos or birthday video, like just random
Yeah.
things, just using
Great.
your skills and keeping creative. Like that's
Yeah.
what my Etsy shop does for me, is like, you know, I like being creative, and I feel like if I went to like a coffee shop, I feel like it's really not what I want to do. Whereas my shop, you know, I can keep thinking of like ideas and things, you know.
I know where you're coming from. My stepmother, Nia, is a actor on Pobl y Cwm. She's been in Pobl y Cwm for over 20 years,
Right.
but they have breaks of filming, months off, and she started up a company making lampshades out of old Pobl y Cwm scripts,
Wow.
and she's been selling all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's she said it keeps my creative juices going,
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
and brings in some money at the same time.
Yeah. It's like best of both worlds.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
I've constantly got something to do. Like I've constantly got orders, constantly like coming up with new items that I can put on there. So you just, it just keeps you busy.
Do you want to share your is it what is it? Is it an email address or is it an Instagram page or?
I'm working on the Instagram page, but it's
Okay.
Art by Caitlin on Etsy.
Brilliant.
Like little TV show drawings. I've only got a few up at the minute, but I'm working on it.
So if anyone's looking for any last minute Christmas presents, get on over there.
On
Okay, listen, thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely catching up with you.
Yeah, you too.
And
Yeah.
you are the first crew a past apprentice on podcast. So it's been great to share that with an audience of people that maybe don't quite know what crew is, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think like if you're like me and you're more practical, like definitely consider it. I know like uni, it sounds, you're pushed to do it. It sounds like the thing that you should be doing, but like, you know, apprenticeships are definitely, you know, they're realistic. Like people may
Yeah.
think like they're not, but you could be getting like better experience in a way. But yeah, definitely consider it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Caitlin. And have a good Christmas.
You too.